Come on, y'all. I know y'all love each other. That's why I don't really rush y'all, because we enjoy seeing each other. We are really enjoying the fact that our most esteemed president, illustrious, excellent Parr, Sharon Abraham, is back in the house. And of course, everybody here is special. Because that's what family is, special, amen.
Yes, amen.
We miss people. It's all right. Uh-oh, it's about to be on. It is about to go down. Yes. Life is really about to get real good right now. I know y'all put your hands together as we welcome back our true leader. Look it, on his way. He walking down the aisle like a pastor. Come on, Isaiah. We waiting on you. Hi, Gia. Good to have you back, brother. Amen. So while we're standing to our feet, we're going to do our proclamation. Because y'all know we're here to proclaim something. We're here to proclaim the good news that Jesus is the King who
pre-existed as God the Son, was sent by God the Father, took on human flesh in fulfillment of God's promises to David, died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, was raised from the dead according to the Scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule.
And if y'all don't know the words to this song, follow him. This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. 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 It may look like I'm surrounded.
Morning.
Good morning, sir.
All right, our scripture this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, the New Living Translation. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year. But they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship.
If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared.
But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins.
That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin."
Then I said, "Look, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written about me in the scriptures." First, Christ said, you did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings or other offerings for sin, nor were you pleased with them, though they are required by the law of Moses.
Then he said, "Look, I have come to do your will." He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect.
Yes.
Together.
For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you as we come together this morning to lift up the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. We ask that you bless this service, Father God, from beginning to end. Thank you for all those who have come in, faces we haven't seen in a while, Father God, and those who will be listening. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Brother. Well, we're going to start out on a high note.
Okay.
Because we should. Is he worthy? This is that season, y'all. This is the season when we should be skipping, jumping, running. Because of what Christ died once for all, we don't have to die. We don't have to offer sacrifices and bring lambs and get all bloody and constantly be reminded that we are not worthy. But because of him and what he's done, he's worthy of all praise. Is he worthy? Do you want to worship him? Give him his worth, right? Y'all, yeah, this is a good hand clap song. Don't worry.
Hallelujah, you're worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, you're worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. 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 You're worthy to be praised. Be praised.
Come on, we know how this goes.
I lift my hands, I praise you, Lord. I bow my head, I honor you, Lord. I lift my hands, I praise you, Lord. I bow my head, I honor you, Lord. Hallelujah. You're worthy to be praised. Hallelujah.
to be praised. Hallelujah, you're worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, you're worthy to be praised. I lift my hands, I praise you, Lord. I lift my hands, I praise you, Lord. I bow my head, I honor you, Lord. Hallelujah, you're worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, you're worthy to be praised. Hallelujah, you're worthy to be praised. Should be praising his name, of course, every day, all day. But during this time of year, you should really be focusing in on why we get to come together. We all come together, not guilty anymore, but innocent. Is he worthy? Hallelujah, you're worthy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, we praise your name. Hallelujah, so worthy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord, we lift you up. Hallelujah, you're worthy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, we praise your name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, so worthy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord, we lift you up. Lord, we lift you up. I see little Levi back there. He got dancing in his feet today. Lord, we sopranos. Hallelujah, worthy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, we praise your name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, so worthy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord, we
come on, alto.
All right, Father, let's go. Hallelujah, you're worthy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, we praise your name.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, so worthy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord, we lift you up. Hallelujah, you're worthy.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, we praise your name.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, so worthy.
Hallelujah,
hallelujah, Lord, we lift you up. 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 That's right, we gonna start off up here. Got your cardio going. I know y'all need a break, so sit down, because you know what time it is. Come on, Crystal.
What's up, y'all? Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. Hello. All right, let me catch my breath. That was all right. So, that night, like, look. All right, so let me read these cards real quick, y'all, before I forget. Okay, so we have a card that's addressed to Pastor O and Running for Christ from Sister Shelley. So it reads, so thankful for your ministry. There's a reason God told us nothing would be impossible for him, because he knew this world would have lots of situations that look impossible to us. Thank you for always help. Thank you for helping us always keep our eye on God, for guiding us with God's unchanging truth, and for encouraging us in love. You are much appreciated. And it says, so honored to be partnered with a word-led church that truly loves God. So to Pastor O and Run for Christ church family, love Minister Lachelle Anderson. All right. So it says, we can barely wait. Baby Devereaux is on the way. So join us for a baby shower honoring Destiny Henry.
Woo!
All right, so Destiny's having a baby boy. So she's part of the 4D crew over here. Destiny, Deandra, Daylin, and Denia. About to call her Nani. So this is on Saturday, April 6th at 2024 from 4 to 7. So if you want to take a picture, want information, just see me and I'll let you get a picture of it. All right. So as far as announcements are concerned, Pastor O is preaching today, which is probably why he's been really, really quiet back there today. You almost wouldn't even know he was here, except for the fact that he's back there and he's preaching today. He's not quiet. Okay. All right. Okay, so pastor's preaching today. Communion is also happening. So if you need to be served, make sure you get your communion before that goes down. Last week, and I think not yesterday, but the week before, we had technical issues with Blog Talk on Wednesdays and Saturday. But now we have a new Blog Talk number for Saturdays. So the number is 515-605-9781. So update it in your phone. It's on the church website. If you want me to give it to you again, see me. I can give it to you. Monday, Minister Shelley is on Blog Talk Radio with her show Street Love at 6:30. So you can go to our church website under Christian Resources for info on that. Tuesdays at 4 o'clock, Minister Richard Overall is on Blog Talk with Training Day. Wednesdays at 6 p.m., our Bible class is on Zoom. Sir. Big air. He did. I wasn't. Okay. Zoom, Wednesdays, 6 p.m., Blog Talk Radio, Bible class. You got that, sir?
Ma'am, yes,
amen.
Ma'am.
All right. So this week, Deaconess Loretta is teaching, okay? The title is A Plea for Christ-like Forgiveness. All right? So if you need a book, get a book. Go online. Huh?
What'd you say?
Don't play me. Y'all are terrible.
No, that's my blood pressure.
Y'all are terrible. No. Friday at 7 p.m., Bring Back the Family is on Blog Talk. Deaconess Kathy is on at 7 p.m., okay? And then Saturday, our worship service is online at 10 a.m., all right? You know, everything that we do on Blog Talk is recorded, archived, and free. If you want to pay your tithes and offerings, you can go to the church website. Because it is First Sunday, we have communion, so there is no altar call. So just remember to continue to pray for Keela, who home. Is it Alyssa? All right. There's y'all list of prayers up there. Okay. So it's a new month, the month of March. So the birthdays that I have, okay, Pastor Jonathan celebrated his birthday on the 1st. Alana celebrates her birthday on the 7th.
Okay.
Amir celebrates his birthday on the 7th.
Okay.
Daylin celebrates her birthday on the 8th.
Okay.
Mr. McClendon celebrates his birthday on the 10th. Darius Freeman celebrates on the 17th. And Ayana, one of Kat's kids, she got me last year because I didn't say her birthday. Is that Ayana? Which one? Okay. Ayana, raise your hand, baby. We got Ayana in the house. Where's she at? I thought I see. Okay, anyway, her birthday's on the 20th. All right, so those are our March birthdays. All right, and let me get you all your devotional. All right, so your devotional for today is what?
Is No Children's Church next Sunday.
No Children's Church next Sunday.
Every second Sunday is No Children's Church.
Every second Sunday there's No Children's Church.
Oh my God.
Amen. Okay. All right. I didn't know. No snacks. All right, your devotional for today is entitled Ready, Set, Wait. All right, so the Lord is good to everyone who trusts in him, so it is best for us to wait in patience, to wait for him to save us. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 25 through 26. The Lord is good to, All right, when life seems to be falling apart, your best and most spiritual response may surprise you. Get along with God and wait. The Bible tells us in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 28, when life is heavy and hard to take, go off by yourself. Enter the silence. Bow in prayer. Don't ask questions. Wait for hope to appear. Don't run from trouble. Take it full face. The worst is never the worst. Most of us don't know how to enter the silence. We're always anxious. We don't like to wait on God because it stresses us out. We like to be in control. What does it mean to wait on God? You sit down, close your mouth, and just listen. You may read your Bible, you may pray, but most of all, you're quiet in front of God. Anxiety comes when we're not waiting for hope to appear, as Jeremiah tells us. God wants to talk with us. He wants to give us the hope that we crave, but we're way too busy to hear him. If we want to listen to God and experience the hope he has for us, then we have to get along with him. We must enter the silence and be ready to hear him. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God and you will begin to sense his grace. Get honest with God and your focus will shift from just seeing your problems, no matter how overwhelming they may seem, to seeing God's grace. Lamentations again, 3:25 and 26 says, the Lord is good to everyone who trusts in him, so it is best for us to wait in patience, to wait for him to save us. Before you go out and try to solve your problem on your own, let God save you. No matter what obstacle you're facing, you got to wait for his timing. He'll tell you your next move perfectly. Amen. Get still and listen, then wait for hope to appear. Amen. Did y'all get that?
Yes.
All right. Amen.
Those are your announcements.
I'm sorry, and those are your announcements. I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
Also, while we're preparing for offering, Deacon is on our prayer list. Sister Sheila's requested prayer for her stepbrother George. She's having surgery tomorrow, right? Right. So just act accordingly to your list. These are your March prayers. If I don't have your name, if you don't ever see your name up here, make sure I get it, because I want to make sure that I include everybody. You won't get in the board prayer every month, but you will be prayed for at least, right? And we got to congratulate Grandma Thornton and Auntie Robin on the birth of... Go ahead. Come on, Grandma. You tell us.
Saraya LaDon Walker.
Yep. So y'all, you know Shanice, y'all. So y'all, we thank God. There's another one. We value life. Amen. You don't have to pay for the babies. Don't be quiet. Don't be... Stand up. Let's get offering together, though. It's time for offering. If you need an envelope, please see the deacons. If you've already prepared your offering, you're ready. Oh, got it. Deacon Amir is on the job. Let's stand, people.
That's right.
need is 5 pounds of dirt in this room. Has everyone been served?
Yes.
When I was contemplating with the Lord and I was trying to decipher between voices is what God wanted the message to be for communion this month, atonement kept dropping in my spirit. And Auntie Janice always challenges my thinking. Do you understand what salvation truly means? We can get up here and we can talk about Jesus died, he died, 3 days, he rose, all those things. But do you understand what that means for your soul? Completely. And so as the Lord kept dropping his atonement in, he said, I use Christ as the ultimate atonement for your soul. And so atonement means reconciliation of God and humankind through Jesus Christ. God specifically molded, made, constructed Christ specifically for the purpose of making the atonement for us. There was no other purpose that Christ had other than to be the atonement, and that was his choice. And so when you think about it like that, when you think about your purpose in life, your purpose is not to be the atonement for anyone else. That was Christ's job.
Yes.
And God molded him to be that. So we have to be thankful to Christ for his decision, because only one person was constructed for that job. And if it wasn't for him being obedient, we wouldn't be able to have that. Amen.
Amen.
Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous person, though perhaps for the good person, some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only this, but we also celebrate in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have now received the reconciliation. As we remember Christ's ultimate sacrifice of atonement for us, let us eat his body. Take and eat. And drink his blood. To celebrate God's loving plan of salvation. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to do like they did after the first breaking of bread with Jesus. He said they went out. Well, you know, we don't go out, but we stay in, but we sing. And I just couldn't help but do this. I mean, since we talk about Jesus.
With the Holy Ghost, how and all the praise. It makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise.
That I could say there's done that many things for me. And this is a short list. I don't know anybody who had the power. My mama didn't even have the power to turn me around. And she had some power. But Jesus, by coming and giving his life, and then opening the invitation, whoever wants to, I don't care how bad you are, how nasty you are, come, just like you are, and I will pick you up. I will turn you around. I will place your feet on solid ground. So I don't have a problem going, it makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me wanna shout. If you know, then you know. There ain't nobody got to tell you when you know. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome to the church house.
All right.
We bless you from the house of the Lord. That is from Psalm 118, verse 26. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That's Psalm 122, verse 1. I am Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson, and I'm happy to introduce our teaching pastor, Gerald Marshall Overall. In this big yet little church where we come as we are, but we don't stay as we are. In this church that is a hospital for sinners and not a museum for saints. Where the pastor knows our names, another spiritual breakfast has been prepared for the nourishment of our inner man. Let's listen with ears to hear and get the meat of this word. Hot, crispy bacon that will open the eyes of our minds. And if you want to go back for seconds, the message will be available later today on rfcm.org. Today's message is titled, A Warning Against Idolatry. The sermon text is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. So turn or click in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, verses 14 through 18. And it reads as follows. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial, Satan? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Amen.
Amen.
Prepare to receive Gerald Marshall Overall with a word from the Lord about a warning against idolatry. So, church, repeat after me. Pastor O, make it plain for us.
Make it plain for us.
Amen.
All right. Go time. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
How is everybody doing this morning? Watch everybody laugh. Right. Amen. need some hundreds.
Yeah.
I need thousands.
Okay.
They make $1,000 bills.
Yeah.
I need about 50,000 of them. I'll be good. Amen.
Amen.
Wow, how's everybody doing this morning?
Good.
All right. Yeah. Everybody like communion, huh? Let's just lie again. That's just, you know, I'm great. Except for my foot fell off, amen. But other than that, I'm great. Amen. Oh, she's taking her dog for a walk. She literally is. Amen. Happy kids mean a happy home, right?
Amen.
Because see, they don't know how to fake, right? They don't know how to fake. They just know how to be real. And that's why God loves them. And that's why God tells us that unless we can be like them, you can forget heaven. Amen.
Wow.
Amen. They just believe. Amen. And some of them do what you tell them. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you that once again we get to come to church. We know we don't come here to be saved. That would be religion. We would be performing an act to make ourselves right with you. But we come here out of a heart of gratitude and appreciation for the things that you've done for us. From last Sunday to this Sunday, there were some hills and you helped us up.
Yes, you did.
There were some low, lonely valleys and you hung out with us. And Father, there were some things to overcome. You made us overcomers in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, all of the obstacles that the devil was allowed to put in our way were the ones you wanted him to put in our way so that you could show us what the faith we have in you can do. Help us, Father, today to really receive this word. Help us today to understand this word so that we might be like Jesus. He said he always did those things that pleased you. Help us to get this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears.
Lord, bless my ears.
So they hear what you have to say today. And Lord, bless my heart. So it receives what you have to say today. Because I acknowledge to you my ways and thoughts, they're not like yours. But I am here today to be transformed, to change the way I think according to your word. So I can always know your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Knowing God's good, pleasing, and perfect. Notice his will is good, pleasing, and perfect. You know, but you listen to people, that make you feel like God mad at you. He hates you. He's getting ready to get through with you. But no, God's will is what? Good, pleasing, and perfect. That means it's just right for you. Even though we're all individuals, God's will is just right for you, and it makes you win. I know you got a plan. You want God to support to make you win, but God has already got a plan to make you win. Now, I know I don't have to do this, but I'm going to do it because I know y'all have memorized all six chapters so far. So, but just bear with me. I know y'all know in chapter one, it was all about what? God, the God of all comfort, right? Who comforts us in all our troubles so we can comfort those who are what? In any kind of trouble with the same comfort that we ourselves are comforted with. In chapter 2, we found out that there is forgiveness for the offender. Amen? Unless we forgive people when they sin against us, Matthew, 18:35? Unless we forgive people when they sin against us, then what? Neither will our Heavenly Father forgive us when we sin against Him. Yes. Amen? Yes. In chapter 3, we had a discussion about the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, the old dispensation of dealing with God, right? Or that age. But then we looked at the New Covenant, and we just read in our responsive reading, amen, devotional reading, right? Amen, that the old covenant had to be taken away so that what? The new could come. God never intended for us to be saved religiously. Amen. God intended for us to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior by faith. And then that makes us right with God. You can't keep all, how many, raise your hand right now if you know all 619 laws God gave them. How you going to keep them you don't know them? Amen? How you going to keep a law that you don't even know it exists? Amen. The Lord even told them, one day you might find out what my word said. And you're going to figure out that you sinned against me. When you figure that out, go ahead and confess that sin.
Okay.
Amen. Yes. So God knew that there would be ignorance among his own people of his word and his laws, his rules, regulations, and bylaws. But he said, when you get your mind right, when it comes to you that you're wrong, then do what you need to do to be set right with me again. And he gave them a system of sacrifices and things to do, right?
Right.
Amen. Now in chapter 4, we talked about the struggles of being a Christian.
Yeah.
We talked about how we're going to have to fight the good fight. If we want to know that there's a crown of righteousness laid up for us, then we should have what? Kept the faith. We should have fought a good fight. We should have what? Kept the faith. And then we can what? Know what God has in store for us. Paul told them, look, we're pressed down, not destroyed, we're perplexed and everything else, but not in despair. And God has placed this gospel, this what he calls a treasure, in these earthen vessels. Okay. Amen. We have treasure in us. And that treasure is, amen. You know, Jesus told two parables. He said a man went and found went searching for a pearl, and when he found the biggest, big old giant pearl, he took all he had and he paid for it. He said another man went and bought this field because he found some treasure there. He went and bought the field, spent all he had to get that field so he could get that treasure. God has deposited in each and every one of us a treasure. That is how to be made right with him. Allah can't make you right with God. Buddha doesn't even try to make you right with God. He just wants you to chill. Confucius just wants you to say smart things. And peace. That's all he ever wanted. Right? All the gods of the Hindus don't even exist, so they can't do anything for you. Amen? So what Paul says is we have this. We have the way. Right? We have the truth. We know we are the only ones on earth who can get you to eternal life. And that's through who? Jesus Christ. He's the only way to get to where? The Father. I tell people on Facebook all the time, if you want to go, because they always talk about I'm going home. I'm going to see you later, auntie. I'm going to see you later, grandma. I'm going to see you later, mama and daddy. No, you ain't. Allah don't have the same heaven as Jesus. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Allah ain't there. Yeah. God says, I'll have no other gods beside me. Ain't that Isaiah what? 44? I am the Lord. And there is no God beside me. So if Allah got a heaven, it ain't in the heaven where Jesus went to prepare a place for us.
Yes. Yes.
Only way there. So we have this treasure in earthen vessels. But we keep our eye on the prize, right? And that is what? Heaven. Jesus said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. Where? In heaven. So we keep our eyes on that. Yes, we see what's right in front of us, but Jesus prepared a place for us in heaven, right? Guess what, Noah? We're going to get there. Jesus would not prepare a place for you in heaven, Darius, and then not get you there. He guaranteed to get you there. You know why? He said he's coming back to get you himself so that you might be with me where I am. Now tell Jesus he can't come get you. The devil like, you're not coming to get Malachi. Yes, I am. You better get up out the way. And look at Jacob back there, 12 sons. Hey, man, this boy got a name, don't he? Birth to the 12 tribes of Israel. Better believe I'm coming to get Jacob. Amen. Amen. Lord God, our Father is a good God, ain't he? So chapter 4 tells us that we keep our eye on the prize. It's not going to be easy to live this life. Now chapter 5 is kind of a chapter we don't like to talk about because it begins by saying, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, that's the King James Version, we have another one, this body. When it gives out, when it finally cannot support our spirit and soul anymore, the Lord says, don't worry about it. You have another one made in the heavens, not by a mother and a father, but by God himself. If you want to know what that body is going to be like, go over to look at Jesus after he rose from the dead. Go find everywhere when Jesus got up from the grave. Look at what he was able to do. Because Philippians chapter 3 verses 20 and 21 tells us that we are citizens of heaven. You know what that means, Brian Askew? That means right now, they use my whole name, they call me Gerald Marshall. Bro. So Brian Askew, amen, amen. It says that Jesus Christ is our Savior, and because of that, we've become what? Citizens of heaven, right? And we look for our Savior to come from where? Washington? Oh, Jesus, them people are retarded. Amen. No, we look for our Savior to come from there. Amen. And when he comes, guess what? when he come rapture the church out of this world. Oh, the dead in Christ, they gonna rise first. Them bodies we buried somewhere, and those souls and spirits that's up there with the Lord, guess what? Jesus said, I'm bringing them with me. And their body is going to be transformed into a glorious body like mine and then yours. He said, those of us who are alive and remain when the rapture happens will be caught up together with them, with him, in the clouds, to be with the Lord forever.
Okay.
Your feet won't hurt no more. You won't wake up and went to sleep, everything was working. Wake up, there was a whole bunch of stuff ain't working. And it's working, but it works slow.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Got to sit on the side of the bed. Then get up.
Right.
Then start walking.
Yeah.
And then grab something.
Yeah.
Catch your breath and walk some more. Jesus said, this old house, keep on leaning. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm looking forward to a new body. This thing is all messed up. Amen. So you ever go to sleep and everything work and you wake up, what's wrong with my foot? What happened to you in the bed? You know, woke up one day, Ed, I ain't have no more hair. I'm like, where you go? What happened? I had a jerry curl. I did. You look, Jonathan came over to the crib one day. He looked at our wedding picture. He said, that's you. I'm like, yeah, that's me. I'm like, but I've been married 35 minutes and now I ain't got no hair. Marcus look like he married. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm married. Oh, wow, Ed married. Wait a minute. Anybody in here married, got hair? Eric was married. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. It's true. Malachi, enjoy it. Darius, Jacob, enjoy it. Lance, enjoy it. Because when you get married, look in that mirror. Marcus will show you how to hook it up, though. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he said we get another body. And then he told us this, that we don't walk by faith, but we walk by sight, right? Amen. We walk by sight. Not by sight, but by faith. Amen. Because see, we ain't got the new body yet, and we're still here. So Paul was bringing them back down to earth in the middle part of chapter 5. And he was saying, as long as we're here, we walk by faith and not by sight. That means we walk according to God's word. Not according to the way we see it, the way somebody else said it. God's word is the standard for everything.
Okay.
Any question that we have, we go to God's word. And it becomes the standard for everything that we do. Amen. And remember that, because when we get to the end of this, it's going to be important. God's word is the standard for every single thing that we do. He finished that chapter by saying that we are ministers of reconciliation. God has made us ministers of reconciliation. He said it in Matthew. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Therefore, go and make disciples. Amen. He said, baptize them in the authority of. When he says the name, the authority. You remember when Jesus told them to go and get that mule?
Yeah.
He said, tell them the master had need of it. In the name, Jesus, right?
Yeah.
When they went to get the upper room, tell them the master, we're going to celebrate it here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's in the name of. Amen.
Okay.
In the name of Jesus. Everything that we do is in that name. Every thought that we think, and we want to know if it's a right or wrong thought, God's word is the standard. Amen. So we are ministers of reconciliation. I believe over there it says that God is reconciling the world back to himself through Jesus Christ. And since Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, he has given us the job Christ had. Not to die on the cross to save people from sin, but to tell people that God is accepting them, that this is the acceptable year of the Lord. And what that means is, until the end of the tribulation period, people have a chance to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
Okay.
That is our job. We should not go through one day without telling somebody Jesus died. He was buried according to the scriptures. He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Amen. And that is the gospel.
Amen.
A day should not go by. I mean, how many people work? Do you know the situation of everybody who you work with? When the Lord sent me and my wife to work, he sent us. We went to Kmart because we was bored over the winter because we did the summer thing, but the winter thing was boring. So when they opened a new Kmart, we went to work down there. We're not rich, but we didn't go there for the money. We went there for boredom, escape from boredom over the winter. So I asked Jesus, why are you allowing me to go down here? He said, I want you to do one thing. Find out in your department, find out everybody's situation with me. Amen. So every day I waited for the Lord to show me a way how to sidle up next to somebody. I was church Sunday. I don't go to church. You don't go to church? You don't love God? What's wrong with you? Yeah, somebody caught that. Yeah, Eric could be all up in there. Amen. You don't love God? I love that song. You know why? Because people think we crazy because we believe in Jesus. Erica turned that thing around. Erica Campbell, Mary, and them, right? She turned out, you don't love God? What's wrong with you? And she talks about in that song what God does for her. And tries to let them know, you ain't got that money moving by yourself. You know you did it with a lot of help. She's trying to get them to open up and accept the Lord. Amen. We get mad at them sometimes, say they too secular. Look, church. We should stop trying to save Christians and start trying to save unsaved people. See, when you get mad when you're working at trying to save Christians, and really you're scared to talk to somebody unsaved. I don't mess with nobody. I just live for Jesus. I don't even try to talk to them. I'm not going, I ain't no Jehovah's Witness. I'm not going to be running in there trying to worry somebody. If they want to know Jesus, they'll just come up to me and say, I want. No, they not. Jesus said, if what? I be lifted up. Jesus said, what? Go. Jesus said, you shall be my witnesses in. That means you go in talking. When he sent the 12 out, when he sent the 70 out, do you seriously think they just went around? I used to watch this comedy with Bob Newhart. And he was a psychiatrist. And one of his patients had a problem. He was a door-to-door salesman. But he wasn't making many sales, Jeff. Because he would go up to people's door and just stand there. They ain't answer. He walked away. And then he's sitting with Bob trying to figure out why he can't get no sales. Dude, knock on the door. you went all the way there. Knock on the door. That's what we should do. Find a way to knock on people's door. Use Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and X. And that boy, I don't like Twitter. But anyway, use all of those outlets to reach people for Jesus. That's how you get to the uttermost parts of the earth. Don't just put on there like somebody say, well, you put the Autorama on there. Yeah, but if you go on my page, you're going to get saved or you're going to run away. You go on any one of my pages, you're getting saved or you're going to run away. Now, I make my political comments when I get mad at them, and Jesus say, take that down. Amen. I say, he called him the Antichrist, but you won't let me do that. Amen. Amen. So we are, amen, ministers of reconciliation. Our whole job is to bring people back to God. That's our whole job. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I live for Jesus. So, yeah, how many people you lead to? How many people did you even mention Jesus to last week? How many pension people did you mention what you ate? Where you going? What you going to do? What you want? What new movie is coming out? We talk about a lot of stuff, and people talk to me about a lot of stuff, but they don't talk about Jesus. They just talk about a lot of stuff, but not him. That is our job. You know, I'm going to move on. Lecrae said in one of his songs, and I'm not quoting him like he's scripture, but this is true. In this song called Send Me, or one of them songs, he said, I would hate to die. And see, because in John chapter, I mean, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and 10, it says, we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. To give an account of the deeds done in this body, whether good or bad, right? To receive rewards. So we're going there to receive rewards. If we get paid for how many people we led to Christ, how much does Jesus owe you? How much treasure? Jesus said, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. So that moths don't eat it up. So that rust don't rust it out. And so thieves don't break through and steal it. He said, rather, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where that does not happen. How do you lay up treasure in heaven? There's three ways I know. Lead somebody to Christ, teach somebody in Christ, help somebody in or outside of Christ. How much of that do we do? Or do we look at people in need and say, you know, I can't help you. I got problems of my own. Jesus had to borrow 2 fish and 5 loaves to feed 5,000. Did you get that? He borrowed 2 fish and 5 loaves to feed 5,000. If you count the men and the women and the children, you're talking 20,000. But he got that to do that. Out of all the money God has allowed us to receive, how much of it has been used or even budgeted to help somebody in need? How many intentional dollars does God know we have to help somebody? See, the Bible says, let your light so shine before the world that people see your good what? Church clothes? Hear your good church talk? Amen? No, so they see your good work. Works! Now, we're not working religiously to be saved. We're working because we saved. Yeah. If I say I belong to Jesus and should not be like him, should not give like him. Amen. Jesus gave without reservation. He didn't say, now, look, anybody ain't a Jew out there, they don't get none. I don't want no Samaritans because they foul people. We don't want no Samaritans getting none. And that guy over there, I just don't like the way he look. He don't get none. Just give it to the people I like. Is that how we do? We just help people we like. Amen. Well, Jesus come to help the people you don't like. Because one time, I got concerned because I kept running into people who act funny, who act kind of crazy like. And I'm like, Jesus, why are these people always drawn to me? Why are out of all the people in here, my wife will tell you to come stand next to me. What is up with that? He said they need help. So I sent them to you. You crazy? You know how to help crazy. Amen. I'm like, Lord, was that a compliment or insult? I don't never know with you. You crazy. You know how to help crazy. I'm like, shouldn't you say I used to be crazy? Oh, you still crazy. You say crazy. Amen. Amen. So he says that we're all going to stand before him. Yeah. And see, you won't be able to talk about me. Because he's going to be asking you questions. He's going to be asking you a bunch of closed probe and open probe questions. He's going to ask you some questions that require yes or no. And he's going to ask you some questions that require explanation. Okay. Amen. Now, we won't end up going to hell. We will not end up at the white throne judgment. That ain't going to happen. Amen. Amen. But when he writes your check, ain't that awesome? Jesus is going to pay us for telling people about him. Jesus is going to pay us for teaching people about him. Jesus is going to pay us for helping people so we can make him look good. Lecrae said in one of his songs, amen. If you see me, can take note what I'm finna say. If you see me giving out money so folks can eat, it's really God working through me, dog. I ain't that sweet. Amen. And that's okay. That's okay. Amen. You don't let me have my way, dude. Like when they say, you gonna leave him a tip? Yeah, don't park your car by fire hydrant. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a good tip. Amen. But see, you want some money. That ain't no good tip. That ain't gonna help you. You park next to the fire hydrant, that dollar ain't gonna say don't park there. So I'm giving you a good tip. But then Jesus, amen. My wife, you know. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody that is giving out tips. But we tip. We're tippers. Why? Even when we get crappy service, we still tip. Amen. Jesus say in Romans chapter 12, he say do good to them. Why? Because when you do good to crazy people, you heap coals of fire on their head. In other words, you make them, when you leave, like this girl was a real crappy waitress. Okay, last Saturday or something, we went out, and I told her I wasn't going, but we went. And, hey man, she's crappy. She didn't, you know, she didn't go the extra inch, not mile, inch. But we still tipped her. And I could see in her face, as soon as my wife handed her that money, she just lit up. And Jesus is like, I bet she wished she hadn't treated y'all like that. I bet she wished she had deserved that tip. She judged all as non-tippers. She didn't know. Amen. Amen. So Jesus wants us to be active in the culture. Amen. He wants us, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw. So you don't have to worry about people to witness to. All you have to do is lift Jesus up. How? Here's how you lift Jesus up. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Mind your own business. I know that's hard for us. Amen. And work with your own hands. Guess what Jesus said? You'll get the respect of those who are aware on the outside. And you won't be dependent on nobody. Amen.
Amen.
So since y'all have memorized all five of those chapters, amen. But that's how you do it. That's how you keep God's word in your head. God wants you to have it the way they had it in the Bible. The way Peter got up and preached that sermon, you can time that sermon out. And you look at all the scriptures that he quoted, he did not have a scroll in his hand. He didn't have a manuscript. The Lord had said in the Old Testament that he was going to write his laws where? On the heart. When I read that in the Bible, I'm like, Lord, so I can know your word and not have to have my Bible with me? He said, yeah, they did it. You can do it.
Yeah.
But then I found out after I researched their childhoods what that was like. They didn't wait till they were like 16, 17 to start studying the Bible. At age 4 or 5, they started studying. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Brother for Christ just got church babies. Nice church babies. They wave at you. They don't just walk by you. Amen. She had the church wave. Praise the Lord. She had to get, she liked what I said so much, she got running in her feet. But no, she got walking in her feet. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 So now that we've got through those five chapters, we're into chapter 6. Chapter 6, you know, the first part is a continuation of what was talked about in chapter 5. Because how many know the Bible does not have chapters and verses? Okay. It didn't get it until 1551. And the reason they put the Bible into chapters and verses is because they wanted to make it easier for you to be able to understand or to memorize. The whole goal was so you would remember it. Okay. But back in the day, it wasn't like that. Amen. Amen. Now, in chapter 6, he gives a warning against idolatry.
Okay.
And you have to be careful with chapter 6, because when you get down to 14 through 18, what you find is the discussion that Jesus is having with his disciples. And those are the people in the church of Corinth. They're disciples of Christ. They're in the Bible class. When you read any book after the book of Acts, those are called the epistles, the letters of Paul and others, right? Peter, amen. They wrote to the church to teach them how to live the Christian life.
Yes.
So when you get into the epistles, those are Bible classes.
Okay.
okay, to teach you how to live this life, to teach you what it means to be saved, and a plethora of other subjects. But when you get to chapter 6, he starts to make some distinctions. He starts to say, you remember in Genesis 3:15, the Lord said that there would be those who serve him and those who serve Satan. He called it a distinction between the two. Same thing in Malachi chapter 3. He says there would be a distinction between those who serve God and those who do not. Okay? Now, if you read, we've tried to morph this to mean that you can be unevenly yoked together in a lot of different ways, and you can. But if you just stick with what Pastor Tate was teaching the teachers, right? Just teach what's there. Look at what is there. Don't try to morph it into something else. Accept it. Accept, first, before you start morphing, amen, accept what it is. Understand what he's saying. He says, what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? He says, what fellowship does light have with darkness? He says, what fellowship does Christ have with Belial? No, we're not talking about the guy from House Party. Amen. We're talking about the devil. Amen. We're talking about that Belial. We're talking about the devil. Amen. Okay. Amen. He says, what does a believer and an unbeliever have in common? He says, what does the temple of God have to do with the temple of idols? Now, if you listen to all those comparisons, they're all the same. They're all saying this. What does a follower of Christ have to do with the followers of the devil or the devil? Amen? So unevenly yoked together, yes, you can say, here's a man who's getting married to an unsaved person. On that, Christians, listen. Don't ever come to me with an unsaved. I just had to go through that the other day. Somebody asked me, would I marry two people? One is a Jehovah's Witness, and the other one is a Gnostic. The answer was no. No. God, ain't no way in the world Jesus gonna make a Gnostic and a Jehovah's Witness one. They both lost. I don't do that. So don't come at me. If your significant buddy ain't saved, amen. Don't come at me like that. And don't come at me with, well, they like Jesus. Do they go to church? Do they go to Bible class? Do they know two scriptures? No, I won't do it. Why? Because that is unevenly yoked together. That is the what? The believer and the unbeliever. How is that supposed to work? Your business partner. I worked with some Christians at my job, and a Christian and an unchristian opened a business together. In the first place, partnerships rarely ever work. Rarely ever work. But this one was a Christian with an unchristian. In a year, they were in court separating that business. The unchristian one wanted to do what the devil said. The Christian one didn't. That was light and dark. You cannot have them in the same room at the same time. You can have light and dim, but you can't have light and dark.
Come on now.
Light and dim.
And then, that's like having the Christians who studied up and mature in the Bible and having one who just joined the church, light and dim.
Okay, I like
that. Hey man, when I was in the Navy, at night we couldn't go out on the deck and smoke. You know why? Because you could see that cigarette light for 2 miles away, and an enemy ship can actually see that light and fire straight at it.
Wow.
God, I learned about some weapons in there. I was on the ammunition ship. God, I learned about some weapons and how to shoot this, that, and the other. And I've never owned a gun until I got in there. And I learned how to do nothing. And then they don't teach you, Jeff, they don't teach you how to shoot the wound. They teach center mass,
yes.
Heads, it's from here to here. That's where you shoot. And you keep shooting until they stop. That's what they teach you. They teach you to regard another human being as nothing. Okay? And once you get out of boot camp, they got you. Unless you got a real strong constitution, you're going to be kind of weird when you come home.
A lot.
Amen. A lot weird. Amen. You got to fight past that stuff. A part of that was kind of like the worst place for me to go. Amen. Because I was already. Yeah. And now I'm and now I'm in here. And they like, violence is cool. For real? Y'all wouldn't believe it. First, I became a second platoon leader. That was the first 7 weeks of boot camp. The second week, Jeff, they made me the police. I was the master at arms, and I walked around like it too. Because I had the power to send you to happy hour. I could send you to Delta. I could get you tore up on the floor. Yeah, I was taking bribes too. But anyway, amen. I wasn't saved. That was in the back in 74. I wasn't saved. I ain't gonna say to 75. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What the Lord is talking about is that we cannot listen to the teachings, the doctrines of the devil. So all of those that I laid out, amen, one is the devil and one is Jesus. Amen. I have to know the word of God. So I am not doing something the devil wants me to do.
Okay.
Let me make it plain for you. In the garden, the devil shows up. Now, God has already spoken his word, right? They know what God said because they rehearsed it to him, right? But then the devil came with his word. And he gave them his side of the story. Number one, Nicole, you're not dying. Number two, God jealous and envious of you. He knows that if you eat from this tree, you're going to become like him. Nobody can tell you what to do, get up or sit down or anything. And God don't like that. Now, here's where the unevenly yoked together part comes in. Are you going to listen to God? Or are you going to kind of hook up with the devil? What some Christians do is try to live Christian over here in church, but then on Monday at work, they unevenly yoked up, living and acting and talking and thinking like somebody else. Amen? Okay. They cussing with the other co-workers. Jesus didn't tell you to do that. You're unevenly yoked. You having more sex than married people. Jesus didn't tell you to do that. You're unevenly yoked. You listening to the devil. On Sunday, you listen to me and sing my praises, but on Monday, you listening to the devil. You unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. Who is the biggest unbeliever? The devil. God has already stated clearly in his word what he means, and he means what he says. When we read what God says, we have to make a choice. Either we're going to yoke up with the Lord and suffer. Jonathan just preached about the new nature yesterday.
Right.
And how we have to suffer for God. How we have to say no to this and no to that, no to them and no to those people. To be ordered to say, in order to say yes to God. I can't let my friend become my teacher. If they're not telling me what God said, I can't let my mother or my father become my teacher if they're not telling me what God said. That's unevenly yoked together. You shouldn't be hanging around with people who try, you shouldn't even be listening to music that tells you to do things God does not like. Unevenly yoked together with unbelievers, with Belial, not the one from House Party either. Amen. God wants us to know his word. So when the Lord speaks to us, we don't do like Adam and Eve. We don't just know what God said. We do like God said. Let me give you an example. The Hebrew boys, when they went down there to Babylon, they were told, look, you need to eat this food. We're trying to get you right so you can serve in the king's court. You got to look good. You got to look healthy. But it was against the dietary laws that God had given them. Now, which one do they listen to? Do they unevenly yoke up with them to stay alive? Because the other Hebrew boys that was there, they did. They ate the king's meat. But Shadrach, well, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, no, we're not eating that. They put their faith in God to help them out of a tight situation. They say, Lord, they want us to eat this crappy food. You told us we can't eat that crappy food. We need your help. So God gave them the idea to go to the chief of the eunuchs and say, look, let us eat vegetables for 10 days. Let us eat our diet for 10 days. And if it worked, you ain't even got a problem, because see, the eunuch would get killed if he produced brought some bad people up before the king. Right? Mm-hmm. And so this was a serious thing for him. So they said, let us eat what we eat for 10 days, and if we look worse, then we'll eat your crappy food. Okay. But if we look better, then you ain't even got a problem. You know what God did for them? Because they refused to listen to the devil. They refused to yoke themselves up with Babylon against God. That's the whole reason they're down there. The whole nation is down there because they yoked up with the devil, lost God's favor, and for God to fix them, put them in captivity. They said, no, we already in bad shape. Y'all know the fire story, right? They had to bow down and worship this in order to live. Amen? But the Lord said, no, you can't bow down. Now look what they told Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar called them in and said, look, dudes, I set out my big old thing out there in the plains of Dura, and I said when the music started playing, everybody bowed down. Amen? But y'all didn't. I'm going to give you another chance. Jacob, Malachi, and Darius. Jacob stepped up. He said, Your Majesty, we are not careful to answer thee on this matter. We don't know what our God going to do, whether he's going to deliver us from the fire or through the fire. But we want you to know this, O King. We ain't serving your gods. Today, tomorrow, never. Do what you got to do.
Amen.
Amen. That's how you stay yoked up with the Lord. You be willing to go into the fire before you let go of God. So they dragged Darius. They took Malachi. They took Jacob. Bum rushed them. Amen. Straight to the fiery furnace. Bum rushed them straight in there. Threw them in. They went in faith. Why? Because they were standing in there with Jesus. When they didn't even smell like smoke when they came out. That's what happens when you stay yoked up with the Lord. He will deliver you. Instead of them signing up with them to keep their life, they stayed with the Lord. And guess what happened? They wanted to come on their side.
Okay.
They're like, you got a God that can put fire out of fire. You got a God that can take the heat out of fire. You got a God that can not make you bring you out without even smelling like smoke.
Yes.
Listen, when people are talking to you, and be brave enough, courageous enough to own God, your Father, yes, to own your Lord and Savior, wherever you are. If the whole crowd is going nuts, don't you be like the Hebrew boys. Don't get in it with them. Now look, you don't have to act all ultra holy and all of that. You can just say, no, that's not me. Yeah, ultra holy. No, that's not me. I'm good. I'm good. You can back out diplomatically, right? You don't have to be all foul, nasty, and super holy. No, I'm not Jesus. I don't do stuff like that. Hallelujah. Yeah, no, that ain't even real. That's fake. Amen. Just be real. Like, you know, I want to do what you're talking about, but let me close. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Father, we thank you for the book of 2 Corinthians, and we thank you for all that we have learned from it in just 6 chapters. Father, we pray that when it comes time for us to be yoked up with you, and when we're tempted to yoke up with the devil, we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would keep us in your word, that you would raise up your word. You said that when we received the Holy Spirit, we didn't even have to worry about remembering what you said. You said that he would bring what you said to our remembrance. So, Lord, when it comes time for us to stand, as you said over there in Ephesians chapter 6, Lord, bless us that we have done all, and after we have done all, to stand there on your word and let the chips fall where they may. If we lose a friend, they gone. If we lose a girlfriend, boyfriend, they're gone. If it costs us our job, it's gone. Help us, Lord, to stay yoked up with you no matter what it costs us.
Yes, Lord.
And there will be a cost. And there will be a price to pay.
Okay.
But help us to remember, Jesus, when the Hebrew boys stood up for you, not only did you make them more healthier and look better than all the rest of them, but you also made them wiser. And then, Father, they were promoted. Dr. Tony Evans is a modern-day Hebrew boy. He was working at a bus station, Lord, and he told us his story. Everybody else was sneaking off and taking hours and doing this, that, and the other. And when they came to him, he said, I ain't playing. So they made him do all the work. One day, all the bosses showed up, and he was called into the office. And they said to him, we know what's going on that night shift. How everybody taking naps and stealing time. But you're not doing that. We notice that you are doing all the work. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to make you the night supervisor. Lord, help us to understand that there is a benefit to staying yoked up with you. Help us to understand that there is a cost to not staying yoked up with you. We love you, Jesus. And we, like Deacon Charles Tate say, and every single day that you give us to live, we're learning to love you more.
Yes.
In your name, we give you all the praise, glory, and the honor. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good job, Rem.
Rem. Oh, yeah, it's a little Rem. What's up? Oh, man, the Hebrew boys, what's up? Oh, what's that? My man, Superman. Oh, God. 1 minute, you ain't got enough. The next minute, you're too long.
Y'all can stand on y'all feet. I know y'all saw the sun kind of shining out. Lord held it for you. Go enjoy the day. Remember your prayer requests. Remember each other, the classes, all that's in front of us this week.
Yeah.
junior praise team is expanding. All right, let us receive our special benediction. We're going to learn this so we can do it to each other, because the benediction is really a blessing. And it's a little song. It goes like this. May your struggle keep you near the cross, and may your trouble show that you need God, and may your battles end the way they should, and may your bad days prove that God is good, and may your whole life prove that God is good.